As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Time for news from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. NFL Draft is tomorrow. Scott Elliott, strength and conditioning coach for the Ravens. Off-season workouts Monday, open to the media. Scott Elliott addressing the assembled masses, asking him questions. Last year's number one pick, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, came in, was a contributor, key one, certainly down the stretch. But Scott Elliott was asked about Nate getting a little stronger there in the old weight room.
My hope for Nate is to continue the trajectory, the vertical trajectory the kid's already on. You guys see it on the field. He is a physical freak in his ability to go display his attributes out on the field. And all year last year, Nate did not just everything that we had asked of him, but did it to the fullest degree. And I think you saw that as a young kid coming in, you know, young body, right, young mind. And you saw how he was able to play all 17 games and in the playoffs and play at a high level. You'll see even more physical maturation, especially coming out of year one. You have a lot of draft prep. So you have a lot of, you know, in that process, you know, in the February and the March, they're doing a lot of really, their drills and their training sessions are really centered around what they're going to do in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and they're training like a track athlete, basically, because you're running the 40, you're jumping, you're doing all those things. And you're not training for football. And now, you know, what Scott is saying is, you know, day one, he's working on football stuff. And he needs to get thicker because what was he always? He was always banging up his shoulder or whatever. And he just needs to get some more bulk, you know, and strength because he's a skinny dude. And if he can add, which he will, he'll add some. If he's here every day, and I'm guessing, Bob, if I'm not mistaken, they work Monday through Thursday, so you can leave Thursday night and have the long weekends. I'm pretty sure that's usually how it is. But if he can put on 10 good pounds of muscle, he's only going to be better.
33 tackles last year, 13 pass breakups, one pick six, and that was late in the year against the Steelers. So, yeah, sky's the limit for Nate Wiggins here entering year two.
Yeah, and that was an excellent pick for them because it was between he and Cooper DeJean. And the Ravens wanted an outside corner, and DeJean's an inside guy. And, DeJean won a Super Bowl, and he played great. So, but for what the Ravens needed, Wiggins, it was a hell of a pick. You know, and where they're picking to get a guy to come in and have that kind of impact, that's a good job.
Scott Elliott was asked about training players to get better as we're creeping closer to training camp here.
Truly, truly blessed to see the evolution over the last couple of years of you've got this time of the year, then you've got training camp, you've got in season, and the buy-in that the players have allowed us to have in their, you know, daily routine and let us truly kind of step into their world and say what we're trying to do in here, whether it's in the indoor or in that weight room, is to help you be the best version of yourself. So when we've evolved, that's allowed us to get more detailed with the guys, because as we're working, you know, in training camp, we got 90. So, you know, we divide and conquer. Fortunately, I'm very, very blessed to have a great staff in that regard.
The thing is, you know, what the benefit, you know, of what Scott's talking about is, you know, the players getting better and the players buying in. And you know how the players buy in? If they've had success, because then they believe in your program. If they don't think they're having success, you know, or if you're showing that they're not having success, they're not getting faster, or they're not getting stronger, or they're not getting bigger, they're not going to come in and train here. You know, so the more guys that come in and train, the more confidence they have in the program.
It's 58-80-105-7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Free agents come in. You got to get acclimated to your new spot as a player. And, of course, the strength and conditioning coach gets acclimated to them as well.
Yeah, that's been a big thing over the last, I'd say, five-plus years, is when you're getting free agents now, they're looking at the whole picture of the building, right? It's not just, you know, contract's a huge part of it, but they're looking at your training room, your weight room, how you operate in those rooms, because they're looking at the entirety of the package as they're in that free agent process. And that's been big. Let's say over the last 3 years, it's really come into play. When we bring in free agents, you know, prior to signing, they're on their visit, we'll talk to them about how we train, you know, historically who we've worked with that may be similar to them. Maybe it's at that point in their career, position-wise. But that we've become much more comprehensive in that regard.
And I think that kind of goes to, you know, the players nowadays. I mean, you look at the Derrick Henrys of the world, and you look about, you know, all these players that are talking about nutrition, talking about training, doing all those things. So, you know, if you're going to be a free agent, you're getting a payday, does it meet what I need, you know, in that respect? So I think that is huge. And weight rooms and stuff nowadays in the NFL. I mean, Bob, when I was in San Fran, the weight room was like a little, you know, it was not a big room. And our strength coach was a conditioning coach. So it's really evolved. Just like college weight rooms and stuff, pro weight rooms are so much better now. And so many more strength coaches and everything else, just like college.
Now, unfortunately, in the world of the NFL, injuries are a very real part of your life. And non-contact, contact, whatever the case may be. But here's Scott Elliott talking about prepping for that eventuality, maybe.
And I always remind, you know, anybody that allows me to talk and we get on this subject is, you know, you got to have great preparation. And whatever, you know, each team or each weight room's preparation is, you got to have great preparation. And that's got to be matched with great luck. And I truly believe, you know, over the last couple of years, we've seen both of those come together. At the end of the day, it's a very physical game. You know, things do happen that are outside of your control. And we've been fortunate to avoid those. And if we haven't, you know, incurred those situations, they've been more on the short-term side of things where we've returned guys to play. But I think it comes back to just the point prior to this. With the buy-in of the players and we're able to individualize kind of their structure of either their lift or their run, that's part of the preparation process.
You know, if you look at a lot of the – which guys seem to get hurt a lot is the rookies when they first come in. Because they don't know how to train in the NFL. They haven't worked like that. And they've been training for track, you know, with the combine stuff. And then all the change of direction and the quick stuff. We look at how many pulls, you know, the Armour Davises, the Adisa Isaacs, the Tampas. You know, they all come in and they all have some type of pull.
Bateman always had a little issue going
early
on there for a while.
Yeah, so I mean, that's you got to learn how to be a pro. And that's the thing is, and, you know, people don't realize that, but it takes time in your training. And Bob, he said the biggest thing is luck. You know, I mean, but proper preparation, you know, prevents piss poor performance. And, you know, you kind of got to make your own luck. And, you know, a couple years ago, the Ravens fired everybody, you know, the trainers, the strength, they fired them all. And now all of a sudden they have new everything and they're not getting hurt as much. And, you know, it's probably a combination of that and luck, Maybe the Orioles need to take a look at who's developing their pitchers.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count some dough, midweek style, buy or sell. Jim Hunter talks about the Orioles with us at the bottom of the hour, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, and draft profile number two coming up at 12:45. A.J. Gertsch, Fox 45. Talk about the draft, which is tomorrow. American League East report. We do have day baseball, by the way. That's at 1:15. And the Locker, Craig Laughlin, is going to be joining us. Talking about the Caps up 1-0 over Montreal. Looking to take a big-time advantage in that series tonight down in D.C.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Orioles get shut out last night. 7-0, one hit on top of it. Hey, did you see Julian Reese enter the transfer portal? University of Maryland.
Did he really?
That fifth year of eligibility Keith Kavanaugh has been telling us about for months. That might be a reality. Now it's all about who's going to give me the most money. So Julian Reese, portal. Could he come back to Maryland? I don't know. Man, it's the wild, wild west out there with that crazy nonsense. You got the draft that's tomorrow. You got the playoffs in both the NBA and the NHL and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But right now, let's stabilize the money, perhaps, buy or sell.
Yeah, the Dow is up 404. The S&P's up 77. NASDAQ's up 383. DraftKings is up 38 cents. Under Armour's down 3 cents to 549.
Why are they down and everyone else is up?
I don't know.
Taking a cold third strike, Plank. Get it together.
First topic of the day is in the NBA, where Nico Harrison, well, he's not going to be let off the hook anytime soon for that disastrous trade this season, but not doing himself any favors either when he's speaking with the media. Whether it was saying he didn't realize just how much Luka Doncic meant to the Dallas fan base, or when asked about the constant calls for him to be fired, and he says he can't be judged on the injuries that decimated them after the trade. He also went on to say, quote, "You have to judge the totality from beginning to end." I would ask, what is that end? Buy or sell, Bob? Harrison will be given a chance from ownership to see his vision through and stay as GM for at least another year.
I'll buy that. I'll give him that. Because if... See, these are gigantic ifs, though. Davis stays healthy. Kyrie stays healthy. And let's... This isn't the 2012-13 version of either guy. So let's keep that in reality. He'll get the vision because then the owners... And it ain't Cuban anymore. He's a minority owner. Then they're throwing him all under the bus. But as you said yesterday, Nolan, and just referenced today, shut up. Pipe down. Luka went off last night as the Lakers won a game in the playoffs. And the last image of Dallas when they were getting blown out in the play-in game was Davis hoisting up a three. Game he had 40 points, by the way, but then limped to the bench. And everyone's going, fire Nico. Even Barkley said, just stop doing press conferences. Yeah. Not doing you any favors right now. But that'd be like a lie, or Hyde going, hey, man, I'm up all for the injuries. You know what I mean?
We'll go over to the NFL, the Ravens in particular. Kyle Hamilton, we know he's up for a big payday, and we expect that the Ravens will prioritize it here in the near future. To say that he's going to reset the safety market, that's not a stretch at all. In fact, it's a given. The highest paid safety currently being Antoine Winfield Jr., a little over $84 million total, or it's $21 million per year for him. But Hamilton, he's not your typical safety. He's used all around the field. If we classify him as strictly a defensive back and go ahead and include the top cornerback contracts, well, that market's a little bit bigger. The high watermark there, Derek Stingley Jr., $30 million a year for him. Buy or sell, Vinny, Hamilton will not only be the highest paid safety, but the highest paid defensive back in the league.
I'll sell that. He'll probably get, you know, I'm guessing he's going to get somewhere between 23 to 25, somewhere in that vicinity. When they throw in the comparables and he tries to throw in a corner, Hamilton's agent, Eric's going to say, no. That ain't happening. And then they just announced Lions-Chargers Hall of Fame game.
Who's in for Detroit? is my mind goes blank all of a sudden. Because usually there's Hall of Famers in there, right?
Yeah. No idea.
All right. That's a good call.
Let's see here. We'll go over to baseball. The Orioles.
Can't wait to not watch that.
Yeah, me too. I was just hoping that when it came up, I was just hoping, please don't be the Ravens.
Yeah, we're praying that don't be Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Right.
Orioles taking on the Tigers this weekend, a series that'll feature two top picks from the 2020 draft. Spencer Torkelson went number one, and Heston Kerstad at number two. Now, both of these guys, it's taken a while for them to develop. Different reasons for both, but focusing on Torkelson, finally showing some signs of living up to the hype this year. Now, sure, 2023, he did have a lot of home runs, but very low average, low on-base percentage. So far this year, very much better in both of those categories, and the power still remains with seven homers so far. Buy or sell, Bob, Torkelson's breakout is real this time, and he'll earn his first All-Star nod as well.
I'll buy that. Because right now, Adley Rutschman's not charging towards an all-star appearance. Oh, Cal Raleigh's hitting a ton of homers in Seattle, but the other numbers might not be all that great. So, how about old Torkelson? By the way, they also used first-round picks with Casey Mize and Jackson Joe, two starting pitchers, just throwing that out there.
All right, we'll go back to the NFL. Keep an eye on two big tight ends tomorrow night, two from the Big Ten, as a matter of fact, talking about Penn State's Tyler Warren, Michigan's Colston Loveland, both expected to go in the top 15. And Daniel Jeremiah, who recently put out his top 150 prospect list. Well, sure enough here, both Warren and Loveland attached at the hip. They come in at 6th and 7th overall, in Jeremiah's opinion.
Wow.
Who is truly better, though? They'll be compared for their entire careers, but it appears Warren has the edge in most mock drafts. Vinny, are you buying or selling that there's any chance for Loveland to end up being drafted before Warren as the top tight end tomorrow night?
Nothing's ever a given, but I'll sell that. I think Warren will be the first one taken. Neither one's a good blocker. You know, I mean, Loveland's a worse blocker than Warren. So, I mean, they're both receiving type guys. You know, both competitive. Loveland is more like a big wide receiver, whereas Warren's a 250-pound dude, you know, that can line up and do some different things for you.
And our final topic of the day on the Orioles, Tomoyuki Sugano might be our only hope at this point. He'll take the mound against the Nationals tonight and hopefully can deliver another start like his last outing, seven strong innings, allowing just two runs last time out. It was also the first game of the year where he didn't walk anyone. That was his calling card in Japan. Great command, a stinginess with the free passes. In fact, he had just 16 walks in over 150 innings pitched last year for his career, keeping it under 30 walks a season every year since 2020. So far this year, 5. Buy or sell, Bob, Sugano will continue his trend, less than 30 walks in 2025.
For the entirety of said season.
You got it.
I'm selling it.
Wow.
I don't know. It's the Orioles rotation, and this is nothing against him. He's just kind of caught up in the wash, and it's a bad wash at that. So I will sell that. As long as he keeps the home runs under 30, I think we'll be in business, though. And, you know, we talked about it off the air, me and Vinny. 71 Orioles could be pitching for the Orioles right now. Where's the offense? Where is the offense? Oh, real quick. 2020 MLB draft, Torkelson 1, Kerstad number 2. All-star pick number 11 was Garrett Crochet. Jordan Westberg was the 30th pick. He's an all-star. So it's not like this is chock full of household names, by the way, and all-stars. And Spencer Strider, who just got hurt again, hurt his hamstring playing catch a couple of days ago. He was the 126th pick in that draft. And your Hall of Famers, Eric Allen, Eagles, Saints, Raiders, Jared Allen, Chiefs, Vikings, Bears, and Carolina, mainly Kansas City, Minnesota, Gates, Chargers. Yeah. Sterling Sharp, Green Bay. I don't see any Lions tie in.
Yeah.
So there you go. Again, game I can't wait to not watch. It's Vinny at 80, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Orioles with Jim Hunter. The struggle is real for them. Just look at the record and look at the offensive output and the worst starters earn run average in baseball. Draft profile number 2 coming up at 12:45. First round's tomorrow. This is a guy that's been mocked to the Ravens. Who is it? Stick around. You'll find out. Jim Hunter, Jim, how you feeling on this Woman Crush Wednesday?
I'm doing well, better than the Orioles.
Right. And, Jim, before we get to Hider hooks and crappy bullpens and shoddy defense, the offense, it's unacceptable. And I went down the lineup and on, forget about the batting averages. The on-base percentages were quite embarrassing. Adley Rutschman, in particular, this is a guy that resides usually in the 350, 360, 370 range, going back to his days, probably a T-ball. An all-star here twice in Baltimore, 297, batting average barely above at the Mendoza line, as a matter of fact. Last year, well, he's hurt, tired, maybe he's a little heavier than he should have been. What the hell has happened to Adley Rutschman at the plate, where a productive, above-average offensive player is kind of become a below-average war guy?
You know, it seems to me like he's become an impatient hitter. Chasing pitches, you know, one of the things about him that you always respected was his batting eye. And, you know, he does have 11 walks, but he's also struck out 15 times. And I think the impatience at the plate is causing him to go after the pitches that the pitcher wants him to go after, as opposed to him going after a pitch where he could do some damage with. But you're right. I mean, he's really hurting them. Overall, I mean, the team batting is 22nd in the majors, a .224 team batting average. That's not going to get it done. And they're only averaging 4.5 runs per game. They've been shut out now three times, including last night. But they're going to have to get something going here. And, you know, one of the things that I've been hoping for and haven't seen it as of yet, and you and I talked about this when we were at Pickles last week, I would like to see the lineup the same every day. You know, I saw Ryan Ripken on his podcast. He had Mark DeRosa on. And Mark DeRosa, who played for Bobby Cox in Atlanta, said one of the things about Bobby Cox is when you were on his team, you knew what your role was. And you knew if you went 0-for-4, you were still going to be in there the next day because he played the same lineup every day. I think that leads to continuity, and I would like to see it more done here.
Now, you can be the lineup as reliable as possible, but you still, Jim, as you know, you've been around this game for a long, long time, need to perform. And another guy, I don't want to single out Jordan Westberg, but after a fine start to the season, he's been in scuffle city, had the 0-for-20+, broke out of it with a home run over the weekend against the Reds. I mean, I would think there's no lingering effects from the injury that cost him a couple of months last year. Why the struggles for Westberg, a guy that uses all fields, which is a thing you love to see from hitters?
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's tough to see him batting 187. And, you know, they don't tell you much. And you don't know if somewhere along the line he's been hurt. You know, they rest him occasionally, which is unusual because when he's going right, he's one of their best hitters and one of their best forces in there. So I'm just curious if maybe he's not all right. And like you said, I mean, 0-for-20s are going to happen, but they shouldn't happen with your best hitter. And last year, before he got hurt, he certainly was the best hitter.
Jackson Holliday, your assessment of him, you know, still very young as a ball player. Hell, is a guy walking the face of the planet. But it doesn't seem to be an easy transition from the minors to the majors so far for him, offensively anyway.
Yeah, and you know, the one encouraging thing for me is that he's using left field. And I think that helps him to put the ball in play, because obviously if you don't put the ball in play, good things aren't going to happen. And, you know, this team strikes out to me too many times. And the thing with Jackson is, I mean, they struck out, what, 182 times in 714 at-bats by the team. And Jackson is going to have to adjust. And again, I think he's got to be in there every day, because he's not going to learn to adjust if he's not in the lineup. You got to be in there to play, to go through, you know, your repetitions and go through what you need to do to succeed. And even though he's in there most days, he's not in there every day. And I think as one of their top prospects still at age 21, he's got to play every day.
Jim Hunter joining us, Video at Haney 105.7. The Fan, Orioles down at D.C. tonight, taking on the Nationals, trying to get back in the win column after getting drubbed the last couple of ball games there. Growing calls for Brandon Hyde and Mike Elias, or Elias or Hyde, one or the other, to get the gate here. I don't know David Rubenstein personally. Wish he'd buy a new Oriole hat because he's got a lot of money. He'd drop $50 in that Oriole store of yours and get that thing rolling. But do you see, would a shakeup in the clubhouse, for instance, would that add a little life to this team, or are we being way too crazy with the sports talk, hot take thing here?
Well, to me, Bob, the starting pitching is where it all starts, and the starters are now 6-12, and their combined ERA is 6.22. That is the worst in all of Major League Baseball. And they've also worked a total of just 107 innings. That is tied with Colorado, which is an awful team, for the fewest in the major leagues. And this is where Mike Elias, in my opinion, didn't do a very good job in the offseason. You know, no one knew what Charlie Morton was going to turn into, and obviously he's struggling mightily with a 10.89 ERA. But he could have gone out and made a trade because he's got prospects in the organization, and he seems reluctant to deal these prospects. They're not all going to play in Baltimore. Many of them are blocked, and he needed to go out after losing Corbin Burnes. He knew he was going to lose Corbin Burnes. They offered him the qualifying offer so they would get the draft pick if he signed somewhere else. And, you know, he went home to Arizona. He lives there. Good for him. But Elias had several more opportunities to go out and make a trade and or sign a better free agent than Charlie Morton, and he didn't do it. And I think, you know, the Zach Eflin injury is certainly hurting them, and who knows if Grayson Rodriguez is ever going to pitch again. Every time they give an update, they don't give you an update, and now he's going for second opinions on his shoulder, which really sends up an alarm to me. So the starting pitching is where it all begins, and you know, you know me, Bob. When your starter's ERA is 6.22, you can't tell their hitters when the hitting is so inconsistent. Hey, boys, go out and get a 7. We have a shot tonight. It's just you can't win that way. Your starters have to keep you in the game, and if the starter gets the win, all the better.
Jim, you know what's amazing is I mean, when you're sitting there watching and you see base running errors, you see lack of effort, you see plays in the outfield, you know, I mean, throwing to the wrong base, guys not being where they're supposed to be. You know, if you're the manager, that's kind of embarrassing because none of that stuff takes talent.
No, you're right, Vinny. I mean, these guys, I mean, Mullins committed a throwing error last night, which wasn't his fault because nobody was covering second base when he threw the ball back into the infield.
How about Kerstedt's throw from left field to nobody, to the pitcher's mound?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's something that they definitely need to work on, and that's what spring training is for. You're supposed to work all that stuff out in spring training. So, and again, you know, if you play every day, you get accustomed to playing and making plays defensively. And you know, Cedric is their best player. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, he's batting 290. He's got a team high 6 home runs, team high 19 RBIs, and a team high 17 walks. He was 1-for-2 with a couple of walks last night. And Vinny, the Orioles only had 5 base runners last night, and Mullins was on base 3 of the 5 times. So, but you're right. That shouldn't happen at the major league level. You should be throwing to the correct base. The cutoff men should be in position, and that is definitely on Brandon Hyde and his position coaches to make sure that they're in position to make the play.
Jim Hunter, longtime voice of the Orioles, our colleague here on Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Jim, appreciate the time as always. I will see you next week down at Pickles.
Yeah, and I'm on with T-Bone tomorrow night.
All right, T-Bone.
No.
Or as we like to call him, Lanolin around these parts, if you know what I'm saying. All right, Jim, enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Have a good day. Good to talk to you.
All right, T-Bone. T-Bone Shelby had 4 hits 32 years ago today for the 83 World Champion Orioles. When we come back, draft profile number 2. It is a guy who has been linked to the Ravens at 27. And he's a guy, unlike the first player we broke down, that Vinny actually thinks would be a cool pick at 27. We'll talk more draft, NFL lunch style with AJ Gersh. American League East reported 1:15. Day baseball game in progress, not in the division, but baseball nonetheless. And the Caps tonight looking to go 2-0 on the Canadiens. Craig Laughlin will be joining us. Talk about that later in the 1 o'clock hour.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Play with quick tempo. We over the left. Can't avoid the sack. Down he goes. Donovan Isaraku with a big sack for BC. Back outside the 10.
ACC Network on the call, draft profile number 2. You just heard the name. We're going up to Boston College.
Donovan Isaraku, Boston College, jersey number 6, 6'2.5", 248 senior, 34-inch arms, 9.25 hand, 35.5 vertical, not bad, 9'11 broad jump, 6'9" 3 cone, which is very good, 4'19" short shuttle, which is good, 22 reps, 2.25. Now, 2021, he played in 10 games, had 21 tackles, 3 sacks. 2022 would have been Zay's last year at BC. Second team All-ACC, 11 starts, 61 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 2 PBUs. 23, started 13 games, 53 tackles. 6.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. 2024, won the Ted Hendricks Award. First team All-ACC, 11 starts, 80 tackles, 16.5 sacks, 20.5 tackles for loss, 3 forced fumbles, and captain of the team. Strengths, long arms, fluid, good arm over move, shows speed to get to corner, has good balance, shows nice spin move, good feet, good motor, he'll chase. He can bend, good takeoff, quick hands, has punch, can dip and get corner, natural hands, stays alive, smart, aware, productive, good technique, rushing passer, maintains speed while bending the corner, good arm length to lock out and shed, good flexibility, good combine numbers and testing, good change of direction, and he can slip blocks quickly. Weakness, size, he plays high some. Trouble with big offensive tackles in the run game. Anchor strength to set the solid edge. Doesn't have power and lower for the bull rush. In summary, I like this kid as a rusher. Has a lot of natural rush ability. He would struggle with size in the run game versus big offensive tackles, but he can help you in the pass. For the Ravens, would help rushing the quarterback on pass situations early in career.
Mel Kiper Jr., updated top positional rankings here, has him number 3 outside linebacker behind Abdul Carter and Mike Green. From Marshall, Charles Davis, NFL.com. One-time friend of the pro. Program. We haven't talked to him in a while. He has Isaraco going 19.
To Tampa. That fits.
And Ryan Wilson, our buddy from CBSSports.com, has him going 32 to Philadelphia. Peter Schrager does not have him in the first round.
Yeah. Isaraco, I mean, when you watch him on film, you just like his pass rush ability. Now, playing a run, probably struggle. I think, if you draft him, if you're the Ravens, you draft him, you just rotate him in and play in your nickel and dime and let him go rush the quarterback. You know, and you've got Tavius Robinson. You know, like he and Tavius Robinson would be a great combo. One's a real good run player, the other's a real good pass rusher. So something like that. Do you want to spend a first round pick on just a pass rusher? You know, I mean, depending on who else is there, I think he's a really good football player. He's a productive player, and he's been productive for 4 years.
If he's there and Josh Simmons is there, what are you doing? Because both Davis and Peter Schrager have the Ravens taking Simmons at 27. But on Charles's board, Isaraku's already gone. Tampa at 19.
I could see, Bob, just because of positional versatility with Simmons, he can really help me at two spots. And in the future, he can be my starting left tackle, which is really hard to come by. So I'd probably still go with Simmons.
NFL draft tomorrow. First round. It's in Green Bay. Ravens have the 27th pick in said first round. AJ Gersh, Fox 45, talk about the draft and the other. Mark Andrews. I mean, that's a narrative that's not going to end until we get some sort of resolution. We know the Ravens are going to need a kicker. Are they drafting one? Or are they looking for the undrafted free agent type like Tucker, Justin Tucker was himself way back when? American League East report at 1:15. Orioles get their rear ends handed to them again tonight at 6:45, trying to win. And then the locker. Talk about the Caps trying to go up 2-0 over Montreal after a thrilling Game 1 win.